What if work-life balance wasn't something you kept chasing, but something that you actually learned once and then carried with you no matter what season of life you're in? In today's episode, I'm sitting down with my client, Kelly, who went through Ambitious and Balanced, my group coaching program, last year, and what she shares is powerful. We talk about what work-life balance actually is, what it's not, and what it really takes to create in a way that lasts. We came up with a phrase that I absolutely love called forever balance, because once you understand the principles that I teach behind work-life balance, you no longer feel like you're starting over every time life changes. Whether you have a new job or a busy season or different demands at home, you're not scrambling. You're grounded. So in this conversation, Kelly shares what she's learned about balance, the principles she now lives by that she learned within the program, and why sustainable balance isn't about doing less or lowering your standards. It's about thinking differently. If you've ever felt like balance only works when life is calm, this episode is going to change the way you see it. You ready to talk about forever balance? Let's get to it. Welcome to the Ambitious and Balanced Working Moms podcast, your go-to resource for integrating your career ambitions with life as a mom. I'm distilling down thousands of coaching conversations I've had with working moms just like you, along with my own personal experience as a mom of two, and sharing the most effective tools and strategies to help you quickly feel calm, confident, and in control of your ambitious working mom life. You ready? Let's get to it. Working moms, I have such a treat for you today. On the podcast today, I have a client who went through Ambitious and Balanced last year. This is Kelly Marr. I'm so excited that she's here. I'm going to have her introduce herself here in a moment, but I'm really excited to hear not just about her experience within this group and where she's at. I mean, at this point, she and I spoke together about a year ago. So we kind of get like a year glimpse into her life. But I also am really excited to just hear her insights into what she's learned about work-life balance and how she can apply some of the things that she's learned in this program into her life. And she's just going to give us so many amazing tidbits and her story. And so I'm just grateful she's here. Thanks for being here, Kelly.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, everything we need to know.
So I'm Kelly. I am a mom of two girls, 10 and 6, very active and ambitious girls as well. I'm also an architect and during the process of Ambitious and Balanced, principal of our firm here in Ithaca, New York.
I love that. Did you know that was coming before we started working together?
Knew it was coming, but that was partly the reason I think I jumped into Ambitious and Balanced too, was like trying to figure out for myself what that could mean in my life.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And if you could, I would imagine, like, can I really make this work? Right.
Yeah.
I think that's really true. A lot of women that I speak with that are, I mean, cause we're all like mid-career here, right? That's a lot of who listens to this podcast, a lot of my clients. We're in that mid-level in our career or midway through where opportunities like this should be coming your way, right? Like you've put in a lot of the groundwork into your career at this point, and if you want to be moving forward and getting promoted and reaching some of those next levels, it also happens to coincide with some of the hardest times of parenting.
Yeah.
And I think people get really worried about going to the next level in their career because of the impact that they fear it would have on their personal life, right? Is that where you were sort of at as well?
I really was. I was, you know, I was really excited about the opportunity, but at the same time, a little terrified about what that meant on the home front. Like I had a daughter who at the time was struggling with a lot of things at school, and but, you know, I was also really excited about the opportunity to jump into this role and take on that added responsibility and trying to figure out, like, what does this mean? Does it mean I'm having to, you know, abandon more time at home and bring somebody else into our lives that's going to fill my role at home? Does it mean that I can't take the position because I value too much my time at home and I don't want to do that? So a lot of those questions were spinning through my head at that point in time.
Yeah. Did you think that you would be able to do it?
I don't know that I could. I wouldn't think I was convinced. I think I knew I really wanted it, but I don't think I was convinced that I could really do it. And really at the time I thought that myself and someone else would get parallel, like would both kind of take on the role together and that I would have a counterpart who I would be able to kind of give 50% of it to, which didn't end up happening. So I think having not gone through Ambitious and Balanced and really figured out how to make all of this work, having the other person drop out, I don't think I would have thought I could do it.
Oh, interesting. So this is like somebody else that in the work front that would have been another partner with you essentially as you took on ownership.
Yeah.
So then let's go back a year from today, because that's kind of what you're telling me is like, you kind of hint, there was a hint at this and you knew that you weren't going to be able, or you didn't think you were going to be able, or at least where you were not equipped at the time to figure out how you were going to be able to balance life and take on added responsibility in your work. That's what you're saying. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And a lot of guilt about it, I think.
Oh yeah. Tell us about that.
I think what I learned through Ambitious and Balanced was how to set the parameters and the boundaries and really like put all of that to paper to solidify for myself what I really wanted and how I wanted it and let go of some of that guilt. Cause I was feeling like either I'm going to be feeling guilty because I'm going to be in the office more time and not at home enough, or I'm going to feel guilty cause I'm, you know, leaving the office at a different time than some of the other partners. So I'm going to feel guilty about not being in the office the same hours.
Yeah.
So I think going through the process helped me figure out that like, I can do this. Like I really can have the tools, set the boundaries, not have the guilt walking out the door at 4 o'clock or, you know, say, you know, this night, you know, twice a month, I'm not going to be home until 7 o'clock and everybody at home is going to be okay.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that was what I worked through with Ambitious and Balanced.
I think that's so true of a lot of women when we think about up-leveling our career. Like we really are flooded with so much guilt either direction, right?
Yeah.
And feeling like I can't win. Really, yeah. I'm going to feel guilty no matter what because I'm not going to somehow be living up to some invisible expectation I'm setting on myself on some level, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think being open to other people telling me this and believing it. Like, I think, you know, for instance, my husband saying like, well, I can pick up this thing and that thing if you can, you know, if you need it. Like, I don't know if a year and a half ago I would have believed it. I've probably been like, it's my thing. I have to do that.
Interesting.
Just like believing it for myself because I internally wasn't at a place where I could believe that fully.
Interesting. Yeah. So you started with telling us a bit about putting pen to paper in terms of what you wanted and why. Tell us a little bit about that process and what you kind of gained from that.
I think a lot of reflecting on what I really enjoyed in life and what I really in my heart felt was important to me versus what in my head is important to me.
Oh,
sometimes.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Like not always listening to the messages in my head, but more the messages in my heart. But also, I think pen to paper helped me have something more concrete versus kind of retooling daily. I know at one point we talked about setting your part of your work to home, but also just in general, like put it on paper. And then the next day you go back to that. You're not making the decision in the moment because the decision in the moment is more reactive. So I think a lot of that was a thought, a lot of that putting pen to paper was me not being reactive and changing that message for myself day to day or week to week. Like, no, I did a lot of work on this. So I know this is true and this is what I really want and I have to stick to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is, for me, that clarity process of putting pen to paper about the things that are important to me and my priorities and why they matter. I think I experienced the same type of kind of confirmation, I would say, is what you're saying, right? Like a level of certainty on some level, because our brain does question things all the time, right? We are inundated with everything from social media and culture and familial expectations and all these things out there, right? That are inputs to us that are telling us this is what should matter to you. And this is what being a good mom looks like. And this is what being a good partner and doing good in your job looks like. And so without your own version of that, like written down somewhere on some level, your brain keeps like wondering and it keeps in the cycle of like, maybe that is really the most important thing to me. Maybe I should be spending more time with my kids doing that. Or maybe I should, you know, shouldn't be focused on this promotion right now or whatever it is. Right. And so when you put pen to paper though, and you have these moments of decision-making in little ways in life, like how, what you're prioritizing in your day to day, or what you're prioritizing in big things in life, right? Then you have something to come back to that says, no, this is what's important to me. Like this is, I've put words to this like inner part of me that matters. And it feels very aligned with that. So I don't need to question that.
Yeah.
Right. It kind of calms down your brain, doesn't it?
Yes, it really does. And I also think to your point of like social media and things, having gone through the process with, you know, boundaries and affirmations and more positive internal thinking, I've also found myself doing a better job of like filtering out some of that messaging too. Like I don't need to listen to this. Like this
that's
is them. Not,
this is me
not
over
helpful.
Here.
This is right. Not, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If it doesn't fit into your like matrix that you created for yourself, you're easier to like dismiss it and say, I don't even, that doesn't even matter to me. Right. Like that matters to you. Great.
Yep. Yeah. That's me.
And let it go. I think there's a lot of power in that, right? There's a lot of power in that.
Yeah.
So I love that. Did you even realize that you needed to put pen to paper on some of these things?
On some of it, no. I think I like some of it I was kind of doing, but I think the pen to paper helped me process why better. And also some of the things I hadn't even considered. Like I like one of the like my hours at work, I think were easier for me to put to paper because that was something I was kind of more or less doing, especially during the time we met, we were kind of going into summer with summer camps, which is always the whole thing. So I was like, okay, I know what those hours have to be because they are set for me.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. But I think some of the other priorities about what me time looks like, what's energizing for me, what helps me reflect and make decisions, like that kind of thing, I wasn't expecting, and I hadn't really thought about it was a little bit social media driven in that I knew like, okay, a lot of these things that I'm seeing on social media are not really me time to me, but I don't really know, you know, I think there was just some kind of misconception in my mind based on social constructs of what that meant. And then really digging into it made me reflect better on what I really need for me personally versus a social construct.
Yeah, yeah. What did you discover out of curiosity? What's really life-giving to you in your me time?
I think outdoor time, movement, even though, like, I don't need to go to the gym every day, but like I was at the time taking a walk every day at lunch and I was just kind of doing it out of habit and because of some other people at work, but I was like, no, I really need that. Like, if I don't do that, I can feel the difference in me. And then actually recently, which I had realized quite a while ago, but kind of forgotten about, I was having a conversation with another mom about skiing. And we were talking about how for us, like getting out on the slopes and skiing feels so liberating and freeing that we're like, okay, we are setting a date. And someday this winter, which I think we're going next week, we are just going as the moms with nobody else and we can free ski and like have our freedom and liberation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, just some little things like that are just, you know, it doesn't have to be going to get my nails done because that doesn't really do anything for me.
Yeah. Yeah. figuring it out for you and committing to that. You know, that's so much of what this program is about. It's like a container of space for you to sort of figure out what matters to you, why, yeah. what your goals are for you, you know, what you value, and then learning how to get that into your calendar, like literally make, it's not even making space, it's deciding, it's like priority first calendaring, right? It goes in your calendar first and then you mm-hmm. learn how to protect it.
Yep. Yes.
What did you learn about that process of like, so we've discovered now we actually have to commit.
Yes. I was not a calendar person and I won't lie. Like I'm still working on the holding true to it with all the things in the calendar, but I have become so much better at putting things in my calendar so that I know it's there. There is a slot for it. I'm not holding on to it in my brain, trying to remember that I have to do it or putting it on a checklist that is just floating on my desk and doesn't really have a slot in time. So yeah, I think that's been really helpful. I'm like I said, it's that piece is still a work in progress for me because I was just not that person before. It wasn't a habit that I was holding before. So I think it's still a work in progress, but it's definitely been very helpful for me.
Yeah. And this is not a rigid process by any means, mm-hmm. right? You're a human being that I'm giving you the principles behind this on many levels, teaching you why that principle matters and why we have to have some elements of that. And then, yeah, we'll figure, I mean, I'll give you a suggested way, but we got to figure it out for you, right? What works for you. And in this case, the reason it goes in your calendar is because then it becomes a commitment,
yes.
right? You actually can see if there's actually time for it, right? Because sometimes sometimes we put all of our priorities into our calendar and we're like, literally, there's no time to sleep. I can't do this all. And we need that level of like, of clarity to see that literally we can't get this all done. And then having to strip out of it. And sometimes, you know, putting it in the calendar just means something to your brain. Like I'm telling myself that this matters so much so that I'm willing to take a chunk of my free space in my calendar to make it happen, right? That is different than it going on a long to-do list where you sort of hope that you're going to get to it, right? There's no real commitment involved in that, right? And so the principle here is commitment. Whether you're somebody that gets it in your calendar or we figure out another way that you feel committed, that commitment is really the important part.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And I think in terms of the flexibility for me, that work to home is like, that's a place where it's been flexible. Cause instead of, I've kind of moved past writing the next phase priorities on the paper to putting those things in the calendar instead. So then I'm like, okay, I know their priorities. So they're going to be in the day tomorrow. And like, those are the priorities. So that's, I know I have the time.
Yeah.
And therefore I can commit to it as a priority for tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're talking about kind of flexing on some of the core tools that we learned within the program. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Again, it's like, I'm going to give you a starting point. We're going to figure out what works for your life. I think that's one of the reasons that this program is somewhat unique in that sense is that I start with the process. I teach you why that process matters, but then this is not cookie cutter. Your life is your life and your circumstances are going to be different than everybody else's circumstances. And so we got to figure out what works for you and what's going to be sustainable for you, right? That's a word that I use a lot as I describe ambitious and balanced. Like this is about sustainable work-life balance. I don't want you to just learn how to do this right now. I want you to know why these things matter and how to do it no matter what season of life you're in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel like coming out of ambitious and balanced, that was true for you? That you feel like you 2 years from now, 5 years from now, kind of the principles are kind of embedded for you in your mind and that you could shift and ebb and flow and figure out how to make work-life balance happen for you?
I do. Like I've even seen some shifts like in our schedules recently where I'm like, okay, this just needs to slide a little bit here or a little bit there. But also the tools that when I do feel like I'm in a point where maybe I'm like getting stuck or something's thrown off from normal, I'm like, okay, I know the tool I need to use to get this done or to work through this. Whereas before I would have just like, I would have been spinning and just fretting on it and probably not sleeping because of it. So yeah, I definitely feel like the tools are clear But like you're saying, they're sustainable in a way that there's flexibility within the tools to make it work during different times and in different seasons. So, yeah.
Yeah. So you ended the program in summer. Is that right?
Yes. I'm trying to remember. August, maybe?
Maybe August or July, yeah, or something like that. And then we kept meeting, the group kept meeting monthly right after that. And so our kind of last monthly meeting we had was in December. And so you and I must have talked about this time last year, right? Was around the
time.
Yeah,
I think it was about this time I reached out to you last year when I was, you know, I had come across I think we talked about this when I started the program, because I pulled out a notebook and I was like, oh my goodness, I just found my notes from when I watched my first webinar of Rebecca's in like 2018 or something like that.
My God. That is amazing.
Yeah, I was kind of like hit or miss on podcasts between then and last year. And I kept getting the emails, so seeing it pop up there. And I was at this phase of life last year where I felt like I'd also done therapy for, I think, about 2 years. And I was at a point where I was like, okay, this is a little different. Like I don't need really therapy. I more need something related to being professional, but also being a mom and not taking some of what I've learned about myself in therapy, but then building on that. And so, yeah, I think I reached out about this time last year, knowing that the next Ambitious Imbalance was coming up and looking for something, I think also in more of a group setting, that I was excited to have some others to bounce ideas off of, hear other people's experiences, not kind of working in my solo silo, questioning like, is this just me, or how are other people doing this, or any of those kind of questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a lot of other moms around you that are in a similar, not maybe not doing the same thing, but have full-time jobs, super committed to that, also momming at the same time? I know there's a lot of women that join my programs that are like, this is just not the world around me. Like I'm not surrounded by these kinds of women.
Yeah. I mean, I have a handful where I'm in a college town. So there are a lot of like
working
college related professional women. But I think the other piece of it for me, like when I started therapy, I was considering quitting my job altogether and being a stay at home mom. And then I realized that was not for me. And then by the time I came around to this last year, I actually felt like I was kind of losing some of those people because of where our kids are in their lives. And I don't know, maybe the price of daycare and other things. Like I knew more moms that were actually stepping back at a point where I was
what you were gonna do.
Stepping forward.
Yes.
That was hard for me too. Like, am I really doing the right thing? Like I have these other moms around me who are actually stepping back and working less versus.
That's how they're managing it, right?
Yeah.
And that's clearly not what your, at least your hunch was. That's not what you want to do.
Right. Yeah. So I think that helped me too, was reaching out to you and getting in the group and realizing like, I can do this. It's not like, I don't have to give up on this thing that I'm excited about because I can figure out what the balance is going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So here you are following me for 7 years. I love that. I totally forgot that, but now that you said that, I remember that conversation. That's wild. That's so good. I love it. And so, you 7 years later, what do you think really like made you decide or like drew you to this particular program and saying, yeah, I think this is the thing that is going to help me move forward, to your point, and move forward and manage all the things? What resonated with you?
I think it was that I was encouraged that, like, before going into it and now knowing coming out of it, that it was definitely true that you were going to be able to provide ideas and tools and help me work through a process that I would be able to use sustainably through the future. It wasn't like this gimmicky kind of sell on, you know, here's the perfect solution for this one thing and it'll work for one out of 200 people. And everyone else will like never use it again after 3 weeks. Yeah. So I think both having listened to the podcast and having an idea of what you were going to use for getting us through the process was what really sold me on it.
Yeah. there's no gimmick here. there's hard work involved. I don't want to discount that, right? Like on some level, I try to teach it in a very simple manner so your brain doesn't get confused by it. But I'm not saying that it's easy. Like we're building new habits here. That's what we have to do. If you've been in a habit of over prioritizing work or feeling in a habit of feeling guilty for working or taking time away from your kids or whatever it is, like we have to build new habits. We all know habits take time to build, right? This isn't something magical. It's, you know, on average, it's something like 89 days or something like that to build a habit, right? So that's part of the point of the 3 months is like, it's around that habit building time of thinking something new, trying new tools, practicing them in your daily life, and really implementing the process over and over and over again, and then having some accountability and evaluative tools to make sure it's working.
Yep. Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. Like, I think had it not been the 3 months and did we not have the group to help hold ourselves accountable and each other accountable and also share, you know, different ways that things are working and not working for each of us. I think it having gone through the whole 3 months and meeting weekly really helps solidify a lot of that. And I'm excited to keep doing the unapologetic because I think that is going to help keep reinforcing it through the future where it really becomes habit that is not a second thought about it. It just is what you do.
So good. Yeah. For, cause I haven't really talked about that here on the podcast much to the listeners, which is fine, but unapologetic is the kind of graduate group, if you will, that I offer to my clients that have coached with me. And so it's a way to keep the coaching going to meet together monthly for workshops and for coaching and for goal setting and all the things. Like, it has all the support that you need sort of as a graduate of the program. And so, yeah, that's an opportunity for everyone. So you're not just like cut off after 3 months, right? Like you have a way to sustain some of the process to keep yourself accountable and all the things. So I'm so glad that you're a part of that and choosing to engage in that. I'm really curious, in your own words, if you were like talking to somebody that was where you were at, you know, a year ago, how would you now describe what it takes to create a life that feels balanced to you in a sustainable way?
I think clarity is a big piece of it. Be like working through being very clear about what you really want and what's most important to you and what you really value helps set you up for success. Because if you're kind of wavering around, it definitely makes it harder to find that balance. And then using the tools like the daily kickstart and the work to home to reinforce those things on a daily basis as a daily habit just is a really good reminder and retraining. It's been a lot of retraining my brain and retraining my messages to myself through the process to be okay making certain decisions in order to keep that balance. Like for last night, for instance, we finished dinner and I literally just like got up and went in the other room with my kids, where a year ago I would have been like cleaning up the table, making sure all the dishes were done, making sure like 18 other things on my mental list that was not on paper were getting done, instead of being like, okay, this is my half an hour with the kids that we have dedicated time without all of the to-dos that I can just walk away and not feel burdened by the fact that the dishes are sitting in the sink and I can get to it later.
I love that.
So yeah.
Yeah.
That was a lot of it for me.
So good. Do you feel like some people hear that? I think would hear that. I've had some conversations around this, and this is like the prime example of it. Leaving the dirty dishes out and then going to go spend time with your kids, right? The kids and some uninterrupted time with them, some focused time with them is the priority, mm-hmm. right? But you also want the dishes to get done.
Right.
And so do you feel like you lowered your expectations? Is that how you would describe it?
A little bit. Or I put less weight on those things, I guess.
Yeah.
And also I'm trying to think of the best way to put words to it.
Because I don't think it feels good to say that we've lowered the expectations.
No, like, I think because I'm still getting the things done. I think it's right. just I think I've let go of the weight of it in my brain. Like, I know that it's there. Mm-hmm. I know that it has to get done. I know that it doesn't have to be
right now
done perfectly. It doesn't need to be done right now. It doesn't yeah. need to be done in a like specific, I'm not the dishes necessarily, but other things. Like, I don't have to do it in a very specific way that I was necessarily yeah. doing it before that maybe was overdone. And I can just let it go and come back to it later. Whereas before, it would have been sitting in my mind.
Mm, yeah.
Like, and not repeating, being able to really let it go. Like, the dishes are sitting there. And now I'm like, I can put that aside and focus and then come back to it later. I think that's yeah. the biggest thing.
There's so much more like control, right? Yes. Over what you choose to do and what you choose to not do, and not yeah. feeling like it's controlling you. Your to-dos and your list and the expectations are kind of controlling you.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Like, I've decided that I have certain times that are priorities with my kids. And if, you know, something happens and I get a 5-minute break, then yeah, I can run and throw a couple dishes in the dishwasher, run and throw a little laundry in the washer. But if not, I've held this amount of time, and I know that that's what it's for. And there'll be time yeah. later to do the other things.
Yeah. So good. I love that. So in your words, you said, in terms of like the process of balance or what you know about that, is it requires a lot of clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Deciding, that means deciding ahead of time that you are not going to get clarity unless you literally step back in some form or another, whether you're joining a program like Ambitious and Balanced, or you're reading a book and doing the exercises in the book,
yes.
or you're just sitting down with a journal and reflecting day after day after day. You literally have to step back from your life, and you have to gain some clarity over what in your mind? What do you think you have to gain clarity over?
Over what your true values and priorities are, and yeah. then
values, priorities,
and the specifics of them. Like, I knew my kids were important to me, but specifically what was important and what times were important and what activities of us, maybe not even activities per se, but like what that time looked like. In
yep.
For me, like, that was the clarity for me, and the specificity that got me past the spinning and worrying about it that I was having before.
Yeah, got it. Okay, so you have to give yourself a container of space to reflect. Obviously, you chose to do that within this guided program, Ambitious and Balanced. You also need to retrain your brain mm-hmm. to be what? What do you need to retrain your brain to do?
Positive. Set yes. boundaries.
Yeah.
Don't let those things creep in that you know are either not helpful or are distracting. Yeah, I think that's a lot of it is
yeah.
keeping those things that are not helpful out.
Getting them out.
And
right?
trying to get more of the helpful things in.
Yeah. I call that I call it your inner cheerleader, right? That's yes. what we're building inside of you. We're building a voice that's supporting you and your decisions, not poking holes in why your decisions might be wrong or what you should be doing, or telling you all of your faults all of the time.
Yes.
Right? We're not going to get rid of that altogether, but we want to have more of an inner cheerleader than we have an inner critic.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so that's the kind of retraining of your brain. And then lastly, you need to have some daily habits that support those things. Right. The program has two really key daily practices. The daily kickstart happens in the morning. The work to home transition happens between work and home. So your afternoon, there's others there as well that you can lean into, but something that isn't just like, I thought about this once and now that's it. Right. Like, this is learning that this is kind of a new way of life, right? Like, in order to maintain your priorities, you have to have space that you give it every day to kind of think about it. It doesn't have to be much, but it does have to remain top of mind in some form or fashion in order for you to stick to it.
Agreed.
Yeah. Between the daily kickstart and the work to home transition, I'm curious, which one was more the most helpful to you?
I would say, I think early on, the daily kickstart.
Because that's a lot about retraining your brain, right? So that
yes.
one is where that one focuses.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Currently, the work to home is what I've been like heavily leaning into in terms yeah. of like really, especially if I'm extending my work day, like I really need to get that out of my head before I go home, because yeah. then I can really focus when I get home and not have those things creeping in and distracting me from my home time, because I can get them out, get them on paper, walk away, refocus on the home situation instead of letting the work things take over at home.
Oh, so good. So good.
It is. It feels really good.
I mean, you are just in such a different place than you were a year ago.
And I really am.
There's this kind of weight that's off of you, right? I feel like the fog has lifted. I literally feel like there was this kind of cloud in you a little bit that I don't mean that in a super like depressive or like negative way in that sense, but it was just, you couldn't quite see the light and the path forward. Right. And you knew that you wanted it and that this was a way, a mechanism of getting there.
Yes. Yeah.
The investment is $2,000. How did you feel about that when you decided to join, and what's your thoughts about it now?
I knew that I needed something that had a value that was going to carry me far. Like I said, like I didn't want something that was, I knew it wasn't going to be something that I would do for a week and then it would never resurface again. Like it would just be a total waste of my time and energy and the money. Yeah. And I think it's been totally worth it. Like I would definitely do it again in a heartbeat and recommend it to other people. Yeah. Especially at a point where, you know, I'm a professional and I will say there was a point in my life where I was severely struggling for money. And at that point I would have been
a little bit harder,
but I still think it was worth it. And I would have, you know, reached out and tried to find a way to make something happen, because it's definitely worth the investment in the long run. Like I probably would have spent way more than that in therapy had I not done anything and gotten to this point and felt completely overburdened and lost. And also it's just given me the freedom of my mind to be able to keep moving forward. And yeah, it's just definitely worth the time and energy and investment.
It's the forever balance. I love that. It's an investment in forever balance. So good. What would you tell anyone that's listening that has heard about this program, is like teetering, whether just they're not sure if it's going to work for them or they're worried about the money investment? Like what's your words to them?
I would say reach out to Rebecca, because I'm sure she will help you find a way. And you know, it is work. It takes time. You really have to like put the time in your calendar to show up every week. And I'm so glad I did, because I could have also missed half the sessions of Ambitious Imbalance, and I don't think it would have been the same for me that it was in the end. You know, it's that first step in putting things in your calendar and having it be
deciding
there.
It's a commitment that this goal deciding is your forever it's a balance is a commitment.
But I think give yourself the confidence, you know, believe in yourself enough to like take that step and therefore give yourself that forever balance, because it's a game changer. But at the same time, it's building on who you are. It's not trying to change you. It's not trying to mold you into something different. It's reaching into yourself to really
pulling out the
get
best
your own
you.
Priorities.
Yep. Absolutely. I love that. And I hear it from a lot of women, like, I don't have the time, you know, I don't have the time for this and all the things. I get it. I understand. I mean, that's why you're here, right? That like you're probably overworked and overscheduled and overcommitted. And this is one more commitment. And yes, that is true. And what we're saying is that the practice of forever balance is learning how to decide what your priorities are, commit to them, get them in your calendar, and then follow through. And so this is going to be your first act of doing that, right? Yeah. You're not going to do it perfectly, but that's why I'm here, to help keep you accountable, to help evaluate, to figure out what's working, what's not, and help you get over this, the hurdle of not prioritizing yourself, your goals, your needs, and all of the things. So this is the first step. You get to decide that this program is going to be the mechanism of you learning how to do it. Not just what you're going to learn in the program, but just the act of committing to the program is going to do it too.
Amazing. And it becomes a new habit. You know, once you're in it and you build on it, it gets easier.
So good. Oh, Kelly, thank you for being here and for sharing thank your you. Thoughts and being honest about the process and everything that you learned. Like, again, you're just in such an amazing place. And I'm so excited for you and
thank
your promotion
you.
And all of the things. And obviously, we're gonna be together a long time. I can't
even. I hope so.
18.
If so not, I'll just I call just you because.
So fun. So fun. I just had, I mean, my son was probably like a year and a half at that point. I mean, woo, life is,
yeah.
There's been a lot of life.
There's been a lot of life.
There's been a lot of life. amazing. Thank you again. And all right, working moms, until next week, let's get to it. One sec before you go. I want you to know that every woman who has ever transformed their life inside one of my programs started the same way. One session, 30 minutes, just the two of us. In this strategy session, we cut through the noise of your life and get specific about what's actually driving your overwhelm. You walk away with one concrete thing to do about it, and most women tell me this is the clearest they have felt in months. I've opened up a few of these mental load reset spots exclusively for podcast listeners for $9. If you've been listening and thinking, oh, I wish I could chat with Rebecca without making any sort of coaching commitment, this is the next step. And it's the one that makes everything else start to make sense. There's a link in the show notes. Grab your mental load reset spot, and I'll see you there.